Hi, this is Paul Warne, and you're listening to the Rams Review Podcast.
This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of 2024 of the Rams Review Podcast. It doesn't seem like we did one that long ago. That's because it was 2 days ago. The Christmas schedule, New Year schedule is finally over, but unfortunately, League One fixtures and still competing in the EFL Trophy means January is quite a busy month as well. Obviously, we won't be having one every couple of days this time. So back to regular scheduling, hopefully. But to kick off the new year, I'm joined by Jack. Jack, how are you doing, mate? Have a good new year?
Yeah, it's good, thanks. Obviously, bigger thing up here in Scotland as well, but Hogmanay and all that. But yeah, pretty low-key, sort of new year. And then, started yesterday with the game, which we'll get onto that in a moment, I ain't sure.
Yes. Unfortunately, Derby didn't start the new year with a bang. They sort of did, but it was a bang clatter and then sort of fall off the wagon, wasn't it? It was that performance that me and you have kind of covered over Christmas and New Year. It was that sort of performance and result that we were kind of hoping we might not get. And obviously it comes in quite an important game against, obviously, at the time, I think they were third, we were second. We were fourth, they were third. So it was a big game, and to lose it in the way that we did is probably the most disappointing. But we'll dive into it from the start. I mean, I must admit, Jack, 22 seconds in, is it? 22 seconds in? I think that might actually be a new record at Pride Park as well. We all thought we were on the wagon again and going for glory. But how, unfortunately, did the wheels fall off? But first attack, caught Peterborough a little bit cold. I think it was Barkhausen, I believe, with the ball. Collins is there to nod in. Yeah. And Derby took a lead that you would hope would settle the crowd, would settle the team, would, you know, sort of knock Peterborough's confidence a little bit. Unfortunately, Jack, that wasn't the case, was it? And they comfortably equalised within, what, 5, 7 or 8 minutes. And in all fairness, I think it's fair to say they were the better side for the majority of the game. But that first half, they missed some gilt-edged chances. And I think that, in all fairness, they missed them in the first half, in the second half as well. Derby, just very similar to what we spoke about in the Oxford game, our Oxford sat back and sort of like kind of let Derby on to them. We sent to do the same to them yesterday, Jack. We got that 1-0 lead and we thought we could just sit back and defend it. Not with a forward line like Peterborough's. And unfortunately, they put Derby to the sword, didn't they?
Yeah, it was. We basically had a role reversal from Friday night, didn't we? And I mean, I will say, I think Peterborough, I'm just looking through the fixtures now to see if it jogs my memory, but I'm pretty sure Peterborough are the best side we've seen come to Pride Park this season based on the performance yesterday. We got that early goal, and then, I mean, just a couple of minutes later, they were on the attack corner, which Wilds had to punch away. You know, a couple more attacks, and then you had Poku finding Harrison Burrows' late run into the box, slight deflection off Cashin, granted, but it's 1-1, and there goes the lead, at which point, you know, they just keep going in the vein that they had been. They responded really well as soon as they went behind. They just were on the front foot from there, really, I think.
Yeah, I was at the game, was in the South Stand. It was, I mean, Don't get me wrong, if we were all football managers in the South Stand, we'd all be working for clubs and we'd all have more money than we have. But it was obvious for me that it needed changing pretty quickly. You could see the midfield. We look knackered. I mean, the same starting 11 again. There's question marks about that. I kind of understand why he's done it, but if you've got, two 19, 20-year-olds in your midfield, you could probably get away with that. But when you've got, obviously, Mendes Lang was unfortunately ineffective and didn't look his sharp self, and he hasn't for a couple of games. Orahan looked dead on his feet after 10 minutes. They absolutely tore through us in midfield. We'd got no structure. They marked Kane Wilson. I thought they marked him really well. They obviously know that that's a threat down the wings. We couldn't get down the sides, and we'd not got enough in midfield to get through them. And it was just wave after wave. They just kept coming at us. And as I say, really, we're lucky to go in at 1-1 really at half time. And obviously the changes did come, Jack, at half time. I think it was blatantly obvious he made the changes. This is where some fans are very divided on Paul Warne. He comes out after his press conference saying that he thought Derby played well. I'm afraid I'm gonna have to argue that point. I don't think Derby did play well. I thought they played better second half. They got a bit more of a grip in the game, but they were still being overrun. They were still conceding chances. Peterborough should comfortably have been in front, in my opinion, without us really creating all that much. And then, just one of those things, Jack, we win a penalty. Obviously, the talking point is, how is it not a second yellow? Or I believe he was already on a yellow card. So how is that not a second yellow sending off? I don't really know the intricacies of that sort of law. I've heard a couple of people say, well, you can't have a red card and a penalty. It's not, it's not in the laws of the game anymore. But I mean, at the end of the day, if he's blatantly handballed it, which he's blatantly handballed it, I mean, it's not close to his head, Jack. He's got his fist 4 foot away from his head and he's punched it out. I mean, that's as blatant as a red card. And obviously we missed the subsequent penalty, but luckily Collins gets a brace, and at that point I thought Derby were gonna settle into a bit, and into a bit more of a rhythm, but they just didn't. They had an off day yesterday, and obviously we'll move on to that in a little minute. They got sucker punched in the last 10 minutes and ended up losing the game. But just the second half, Jack. I'd say the changes came. I mean, it is hard to change after 15, 20 minutes. You're always trying to just see if you can get a foothold into the game. But for me, you could clearly see something wasn't quite right. It's obviously not nice to hoist somebody off after 25 minutes. But if it's not working in such a game as that, they're the decisions that the manager gets paid to do, aren't they? You have to sometimes just make those decisions. And if it backfires, it backfires. But we never looked in control of that game. I think Peterborough could have and probably should have been well in front before we scored that penalty. But just Derby's performance, and then, as I say, leading into that penalty, Jack. I mean, red card or not, how has he stayed on the field?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could think with that is you say you've seen people say you can't have a penalty and a red card. So is it a case of double jeopardy? But again, I don't know whether that applies to second yellows. I'll try and look this up and clarify it. If not, then we should find a referee to ask, probably. But yeah, I mean the substitutes definitely helped. I wouldn't say we were playing well in that second half, but I think we somewhat stabilised. We weren't, it stopped quite as much of a rot, but we were still, we were still, as you say, overrun and outclassed, really, just to a lesser extent, I would say. I think, again, Liam Thompson coming on with that bit of energy, would that have been useful from the start? Probably. Is he fit enough to do that yet? I would assume not, because I think Paul Warne would have used the energy of someone like him rather than playing the same team for 3 games in 6 days, which I mean, it's one of those things where the fixture list has fallen this way, and we've got two promotion six pointers in what, 3, 4 days. And if he doesn't play a strong lineup, if he doesn't play the strongest lineup yesterday and we lose, then he's getting slated for not playing the strongest lineup. So he kind of can't win. But yeah, in hindsight, it absolutely seems a slightly odd decision to stick with so many clearly tired legs. But yeah, I mean, the penalty, thank goodness Collins was sharp enough to head in that rebound. And at that point, you kind of thought, okay, can we just, properly stabilize now and get a foothold, take control of this now that we've got the lead again? Because control is something we haven't had all the way through. But no, I mean, yeah, they were just relentless, as you say, it was wave after wave. And yeah, the end of the day, they were just a much better side, I think. I'm not overly concerned by it if we're looking longer term, because this sort of thing happens. 25 points from 30, great result. And also, I mean, I was sat here when we were talking about this run of fixtures. So from Oxford and Peterborough, I'd have taken two draws. 2 points to six games. We've won one, lost one. We got three. It's not the end of the world. If we win on Saturday, I think if we win 3-0 against Fleetwood, then we go above Peterborough on goal difference. Because they have an FA Cup game against Leeds on Sunday, so that'd be level on games played with them by that point. So catching up to Peterborough isn't impossible. Catching up to the top two, that's obviously now 5 point gap to Bolton again, same amount of games played, 7 points off the top with a game in hand. So, if we can recover and go on a similar run again, then we'll be all right. You can't win them all against these sorts of teams. And Peterborough on the day were a top team, and we were, as you say, we had an off day. And I think that combination was always going to make it incredibly difficult for us.
Yeah, it did. Like I say, we looked tired from 10, 15 minutes in, really. It's disappointing that obviously it comes in such a game at home, but yeah, like you say, we would have 6 points out of the three. I think we'd have definitely have taken that. And so it's just a little bit disappointing in the manner, obviously, that we. I was going to say throw it away, but as we've kind of got said for the last 5 minutes, we didn't. We were lucky to find ourselves 2-1 up. I think that's fairly apparent that we weren't good enough. And then, some will say game management. I've seen people say game management. I think just eventually the resistance just ended. The resistance just ended, Jack. I don't think they'd really got much more to give. I mean, obviously, the last one's a bit of a calamity. But at the end of the day, goals like that happen. Reaction, it's whoever reacts. I mean, that third one, if the ball's an half a yard in front, Wildsmith gets to it. It's just Derby weren't destined to win that game yesterday. I think, the footballing gods were had turned on us a little bit yesterday. There's other things. Yeah, the performance wasn't great, but when you've got the same lads out, three times in 7 days or whatever it was, that is going to be a tough test. I'm not saying that obviously Peterborough could well have had something similar, but you look at Peterborough's results over the Christmas period. They picked up a couple of draws, against probably lesser opposition. I think they've played Barnsley. I think they played Fleetwood, I think it was, or that might have been just before.
Yeah, the last two games before yesterday were 2-2 draws at home to Barnsley and Reading,
Well, there
so.
you go then. So it's, I mean, you look at that and you think, oh, we should have won then. And why were they so good? Maybe they rested some of their players in those games and then, put out a full strength, more of a full strength side against us because they knew that that was an important one to win. I mean, they celebrated it at the end, Jack. I don't really know how the TV cameras picked it up, but obviously I was right next to the away fans and All the players came over. Darren Ferguson came over. They celebrated that like they'd won the league. They really did. They knew that was. And to be honest with you, I suppose when you look at it from an outsider's perspective, Bolton, Portsmouth, anybody up at that top end are going to look at that and go, "Well, thank God you stopped them, because we were really gaining a nice little bit of momentum." And as I say, it's been a topic of conversation over the last couple of pods. If Derby lose, and sorry I jinxed it, everybody, if Derby lose, how are they going to react? And obviously, you've got an opportunity to react straight away against the bottom of the league next week on telly. Obviously, it's an absolute banana, another banana skin. Of course it is. But like you said, some of the League One will be away on FA Cup games. So it's a chance to bounce straight back. And let's be honest, other than having a team at home down the bottom end, there's not really anybody you'd want at the bottom end of, League One for your sort of your bounce back game, apart from obviously lots of different changes in management going on there at Fleetwood as well. So, it's a potential banana skin, but I don't think there's many more. A nice week off, well, the best part of well, 6 days off. Let them recharge, let them regroup, and then go ahead again for Fleetwood, Jack. But I think before we move on to Fleetwood, I suppose that the obviously we're now in January, the window is open. Reports are that Cashin signed a new deal, but we assumed he would do that anyway because there was an option on it anyway. So that's just to give Derby a little bit of protection, potentially. We will wait and see how that goes. But that transfer window's open, Jack, and we have touched on it a little bit recently, but we can go obviously into a little bit more to it now. Is it a bit of a worry that they had to play the same 11 for three games running over that busy period where other teams probably didn't, to try and get the best out of Derby? And ultimately, that could be potentially what cost them at least a point yesterday. Is it a little bit of a worry that obviously we've got players in the building, we've got other midfielders in the building, we haven't got as many wingers in the building, we've obviously got a bit of a striker crisis. Does it just highlight how well Derby have done with still a bit of a thin squad? And is it a little bit worrying that, the games will come thick and fast? Obviously, not quite like Christmas, but games do come thick and fast. And Derby's squad players, if you want to call them that, they're not being relied on as much. Well, it doesn't seem that they're being relied on as much by the manager, because that's why he's put the same, I know, I appreciate don't change your winning team and all that, but still, small tweaks when you've got that many fixtures in a row, then, you've got to play the game a little bit, haven't you? And I was a little bit surprised that we didn't see one or two more faces. And I just don't know if that's, a bit of a worry that there's people in this club that he's brought in as well that aren't necessarily fighting for a start.
Yeah, I mean, if you look compared to last season when we used, I think, the joint smallest ever amount of players in a League One season or something, the squad this season, just looking on Transfermarkt with all the squad details, our squad size, we've got 26 players in it, which is by no means the smallest. It's what, joint fourth smallest, but there's three or four other teams with, 26-man squads. Peterborough themselves, Barnsley, Stevenage, all teams that are doing all right around us. So it's not that we've not got enough players in terms of the numbers, but as you say, I think it's that obviously we've had a couple of, long-term injuries and things, and then also, yeah, it would appear that Paul Warne doesn't have perhaps the required level of faith in his squad players to indicate that we've got good enough strength and depth. And that's where we probably need to see some improvements in January. I mean, if you look at some of the players we've signed in the summer, of course, injury records were a little bit of a concern. You've got people like Connor Washington, who got a 3-month injury a little while back. I mean, the most obvious one was, of course, Elliot Embleton, wasn't it? That was a glaringly obvious example of some fans' fears around the injury records of some of our players. But equally, when you are signing players on free transfers, going for players who are dropping down a level, is it somewhat to be expected? There's a reason they were available on frees.
That's it, isn't it? There's usually a reason behind it.
So, yeah, I think a couple of players in January, certainly reinforcements. We do have to get this right because last January we didn't. And look where we ended up. Other teams strengthened whilst we were weakened, and yeah, it kind of started the demise, didn't it? But if there's a little bit of money to be spent, then great. I think the biggest news yesterday, and I would say that yesterday, from a Derby fan perspective, if we were taking those rumours as confirmation, if that is true, which, given the amount of people who've verified it, that we trust as well, there are some very trusted sources, people we've had on here as well, verifying that, then I think overall it's probably still a positive day for the club. We've got another 12 months of cash in, which means that either we get more money for him, but most likely in the summer, because we're keeping this squad stable and together. And likewise, Matt Spurred, because, it's what I was talking about the other day with the calculations around, yeah, you could get some money for them now, but is the difference between the money now and in the summer worth derailing potentially your promotion bid? And the club is clearly, if this is true, which again, it sounds like it is, the club has clearly calculated that it's not worth that little bit extra money.
Well, that's it. Yeah, and we did. We spoke about that, and no, it's a nice bit of news. Like you say, it's come from trusted sources, so I think that's a fair. It's a fair thing, and we talk about squad, the strength of the squad, and bringing people in. I mean, every fan's got an opinion, and I have no problem with that. But you say, oh well, we need five players. Chance, you're not going to get five in January. You're just not. I certainly not of quality that we would require. We're going to have to. There's not going to be many strikers knocking about who have got bags of goals already this season or who are fully fit. Unless you're spending money. To be honest, I don't really know what sort of money is available. Obviously, they've said there's a little bit, but is that more wages based on wages or, for wages and stuff? But let's face it, Derby aren't going to be going out and spending £2 million in January. I just don't see it happening. I'd be pleasantly surprised if they do. I just don't see it happening. Obviously, you've got the John Joles loan still to discuss. It's been quietish on that front. It's sort of been mentioned. Obviously, conversations are going on financially. And stuff like that. I'd like to see him stay if we can, continue his fitness, build of his fitness. I think he will become a useful player. I think it'll all depend what else is out there on the market, Jack. And we must be looking. Collins again, another brace. You can't really knock him. He does. He's popped up and got another two goals. Obviously, that puts him on to 10th, I believe it is, for the season. I think he's about a 1 in 2 so far this season, so you can't knock him for the goals that he scored. And so it'll all depend what's about. I think we need something else on the another winger. So we do need another midfielder, and then obviously it all depends on sort of what does happen in January with Cashin if we need another centre half. But again, it's bringing those, and we said it the other day. It's all well and good bringing bodies in for bringing bodies in sake, but they've got to be up to the challenge. They've got to be good enough, and they've got to be the right people. Otherwise, they're just going to disrupt, what is at the moment. Take yesterday aside, and I think you're right. I don't think it's the end of the world. It's disappointing, but I don't think it's the end of the world. That it's been a good couple of months for the club on the pitch, and I think it is about now reacting to that next week against Fleetwood, and probably not shutting the doubters up, that's probably the wrong way of saying it, but don't have a little wobble now. You know, don't have three or four games where we struggle against the lower sides, because the same questions that were coming up 3 months ago are gonna rear their head again, aren't they? It's about shutting down that, I think, if we can get back to winning ways pretty quickly, or you know, put in a solid performance and get something out of next week. Let's face it, we want to win against Fleetwood, of course we do. But just getting the run going again, like you say, we do not want a mini slump now, because again, the pressure's then what's gone before it, the 27 points or whatever it is, it'll soon be forgotten, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah, 20, 25 points from the last 30 available to us, you know, that is brilliant form, regardless of yesterday. And that, I mean, that's the thing that I'm trying not to lose sight of. It's disappointing. I think yesterday was disappointing in the way it happened rather than the actual result, wasn't it? Because they did, they outplayed us, bottom line. I mean, I guess my concern going into Saturday is the players have gone from such a high on Friday night with the comeback, crashing back down to the disappointment of a late defeat. So, you know, they're professionals. I'm sure they'll deal with it. I'm sure they've got people within the club. But yeah, the psychology of that, again, probably quite interesting to look into, if only we had the expertise, because yeah, I think in that sense as well, it's quite important to bounce back, because you don't want the entire atmosphere of the club and the fan base. You want to ease the concerns as soon as possible, but you also don't want to be dwelling on a bad result and start another bad run. And as you say, the negative feelings kind of resurfacing, because yeah, they've been flying, and we can't let one result kind of destabilize all of that.
No, we can't. So brings us on to Saturday then, and just looking at Fleetwood in a little bit more detail, Jack. As we say, I think they're currently bottom of the league. But you know, you look at the last few results. Okay, got beaten at home by Peterborough, only 1-0. Got a very decent point down at Portsmouth. Drew with Carlisle. Got beaten by Bolton at home. Got beaten by Shrewsbury yesterday away. So a bit of a mixed bag. They've only got four wins this season out of a possible 24. They've got the worst goal record, goal difference, not goal difference. They've conceded the most goals this season. Obviously, I think they're the third lowest, fourth. I'm just looking now, fourth, joint fourth, fifth lowest scorers. It's not. You look at it and the 18 points, it looks a little bit worse than it might actually be. But obviously, we've seen Fleetwood this season already. It was one of those games that, memory serves me right, it was one of the first sort of first wins at Pride Park this season. Obviously, last year, did we draw there? Nil nil, was it? I believe, or 1-1.
Yeah, so this season we've seen them twice
Of
already,
course
haven't
we
we?
have, yes.
Because we played them in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy
Of course.
about a month ago. That was a 3-0 win at Pride Park. The other visit, Pride Park in the league, was 1-0. Waghorn's goal after 23 minutes. And yeah, that was one of those where we sat back for the last 20 minutes or so and just about got away with it. So it was similar to Portsmouth in that sense, the closing stages of that game. But obviously Portsmouth managed to punish us, and Fleetwood didn't. But yeah, I mean, last season we drew nil nil away, and then they came and beat us 2-0 in
They
March, didn't
did,
they? That
yeah.
was the three losses. It was the first of the three losses in a row, which I think was Derby's first ever run of three straight defeats in the third tier. That really started to rock the boat regarding the form, and saw us kind of drop out of those playoff places, because it was that, followed by Peterborough away, then Ipswich came in, and yeah,
Big
it
team,
was three
yeah.
consecutive 2-0 losses. But yeah, I mean, this season, They've not been great. Obviously, bottom of the league, 5 points off safety. Third manager of the season now, Charlie Adam. They did lose yesterday, but there is potential for a bit of a new manager bounce, of course, as well, which probably makes it that bit more of a banana skin. I mean, their top scorer this season in terms of goals is Jack Marriott with only 5 goals. But of course, it's one of those things where we all sit here and say, oh, well, he used to play for us, of course he'll score against us. Whether there's that much truth in that or not remains to be seen. But yeah, I mean, someone like him on his day is a threat. But let me just double check their recent lineups. I mean, he's got 13 goals in 46 games since joining them last January. So,
Not
yeah, I mean, he was off
world's
the
worst
bench
return,
yesterday.
is it?
No, it's not. He was off the bench yesterday and against Bolton. So maybe they're managing his minutes ahead of this game because it looks like he's not played that many. Whereas earlier on in the season, he's played a lot more. Or whether that was obviously different manager, who knows? We can't really know who Charlie Adam is going to favour in any positions as of yet. And that, I guess, that sense of maybe a little bit of unpredictability will make it more difficult. But really, we should have enough. They've got today, we're recording this Tuesday, and then we've got 3 days before then Saturday. So that's, there's some good recovery time there. Get back on the training ground, work on a few things, head up there, a couple of days, and it's Bradford in the cup. I imagine we'll rotate there, and then we've got another 5, 6 days before we play Burton on a Monday night. So there is a nice little bit of rest now compared to what there has been in the last couple of weeks. But yeah, it definitely could be a banana skin.
It's the professionalism that I think we've sort of come to appreciate from that run that Derby have been on. We've got to go there. We've got to be professional. We've got to get the job done. Because let's face it, these are the games that we have really. We've got to win. There's no two ways about that. We'd have had to have won it really if we'd have won yesterday. Even more so, I suppose now that the onus is on us to pick up that result. And not look too far ahead. And like you say, just see how I've got no problem with playing an unchanged side if there's no signs of fatigue. Clearly on Saturday, clearly Monday yesterday, there was signs of fatigue. So let's see how they train over the next few days. It has been a grueler, and let's face it, we've had some tough. There've been tough games. There've been good games. We haven't really posted any of them comfortably. It's not been, they've been battles, all three of them, which will have taken it out of them a little bit. But it's a bit of a time to reflect. As I say, January is looking a busy month as well, with Saturday Tuesday, all pretty much all the way through January, and obviously, like you say, the Burton one thrown in on a Monday night, which has really annoyed me, but whatever. But yeah, it's just about the challenge to them that you can see the good of the team in the performance, obviously in the recent performances, and obviously the result against Wigan on Boxing Day, the comeback from Oxford. And then you see the slight frailties in the side as well yesterday, where if we aren't at it 100%, teams in this division, that certainly at the higher level, a higher end of the division, whilst we know the division's not the greatest, the teams at the top are still quite strong. So we've got to put it, it's all going to be about reactions now. I'll say, reflect on what we've achieved. And really, it's from a management's perspective, the coaching team, it's challenging them, as we've said earlier, challenge them to go on another one, isn't it? And try and get through the majority of January, picking up as many wins as possible.
Yeah, the best way to respond from a disappointment like that yesterday is to, as you say, resurrect a sort of new unbeaten streak, isn't it? I guess the other challenge for Saturday that we've not mentioned is, of course, now off goes Ryan Nambi to AFCON. That was his last game for a little while, which it'll be interesting to see what Paul Warne and his staff do there, because he has been such an important figure. I mean, we saw, we still got some decent results, kept the unbeaten run going when he was out injured, but we did not look anywhere near as solid. So that's, I guess, the other big challenge for January. Whether it's Joe Ward or Kane Wilson that plays in that right back role, whether, Curtis Nelson's played right back at a couple of points in his career, I'm sure. Oh, I can't remember where, but you don't want to disrupt that partnership. So it is going to be interesting, and I guess that's the other thing. It's new faces that potentially come in this month, and how we cope without a player who very quickly became key.
Yeah, I think for me, I think I don't think I like it, but I think it's starting to scream 3-5-2 for a lot of for a lot of January. I've got a feeling, which as I'm not overly impressed. I haven't been overly impressed when Derby's played 3-5-2 too much this season. Certainly from the offset, change it in game. We've seen it do various bits and pieces. Obviously, kind of changed that a little bit yesterday, but yeah, it will be a loss, Nyambe, definitely. Like you say, but we've played with him without him before, so it's it's about learn, trying to, yeah, just keep going. There is only really one or two people that can play at that position now, and I would say neither of them are particularly defensively minded, in my opinion. So they will probably look for more security with a sort of a three at the back, which, fine. I've got no problem with that. No problem with that at all. But yeah, it's all a little bit unknown, really, isn't it? Like I said, the line in the sand's been drawn now. That's it. Derby's unbeaten run has ended, and now it's gonna. We said that over Christmas was going to be a bit of a sort of a marker, and I think they've executed it quite well. And now, like, it's all about laying down another one now. Teams at the top have stuttered a little bit over recent weeks. We've just got to hope that if this is our mini stutter, it's not too much, and get back on the bandwagon as fast as we can. And obviously, if we can get a face or two through the door as soon as we can in January to allow them to bed in, then yeah, we're still in for, hopefully, quite a positive January, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd have offered us this at the start of December, when we were talking about all of this for the first time, if you'd have said at the start of if you'd have said 10 games ago we'd get 25 points from them, we'd have taken that in a heartbeat, wouldn't we? So, if a last minute defeat to a promotion rival is the extent of a blip for us now, then that shows that we're doing pretty well compared to where we were. And yeah, I think there is no reason why Derby can't put another run together, but it is just a little bit more difficult without Niambi. And yeah, just see what January brings. But I think Cashman and Bird's futures looking a bit more secure is a big boost as well for that.
Absolutely. No, I would agree. Right. Well, that is it for this episode of the Rams Review podcast. We will have one next Monday where we'll talk all about Fleetwood. We'll look ahead to the EFL Trophy game on the Tuesday night against Bradford. And then obviously, we've got that little bit of a break until the Monday night fixture against Burton back at Pride Park. Hopefully, by then, we've got a couple of wins back under the belt and, all things rosy in the garden again. But thanks to Jack. Jack, thank you very much.
Thank you, mate.
And until next time, up the Rams.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast. Or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.